Okay, so we're actually in the middle of Perek Yud Ches 18, chapter 18, which in this book is page 46. The page number's on the top there, you see that?
Yeah.
Actually, we're going to start from the third line on the next page, Chaf Talad. Yeah. So just to recap, so in Perek Yud Ches, in chapter 18, he started a whole new thing to explain a bit more what the Pasuk means. Remember, the Tanya was based on the Pasuk that Ki Korev Eilecha Hadover Mo'ed, that the Torah is very accessible to us, it's very easy, it's very close, and so on, right? And he wanted to explain not only because the Pasuk says, Beficho uvil vofcho la'asoisei, in your mouth, which means it's easy, it's close, it's accessible to learn, to talk, to daven. La'asoisei means to do, but uvil vofcho means in your heart, right? The feeling and midas. And we talked about, up until now, the idea of love of Hashem, how Benoni has to be able to develop love of Hashem in order to inspire the motivation to make the choice only to listen to the nefesh of a kiss, the godly soul, not to the animal soul. And he went to different levels. In other words, the concept of really the optimum, the ideal is to develop a full-blown sort of emotional love in the heart. Not everyone's able to do that. So he went to a different concept, the idea of developing an intellectual love. You know, we learned that concept. But now he's going to go to a whole other thing, which we started already, to explain something called, in other words, how about, because not everyone is able intellectually to develop a love. Not everyone can study and contemplate and internalize intellectually to be able to create like a love at least on the intellectual level. So there's a third thing, and this becomes the subject of the next few chapters until chapter 25, really. It's one long thing. He talks about activating the Ava Mesuteris, the hidden innate love that every Jew has to serve Hashem, right? And that love is also connected with the concept of fear, or with love of Hashem, fear of Hashem. So this is going to be in other words, and how do you activate that and how do you use that? So what we started last time is, he started talking about the neshama that we inherited from the Ovis, right? And since the Ovis, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, starting from Avraham Vinu, were completely committed to Hashem, and they were completely bottled, they were completely like a chariot, right? Merkava, we learned. And Merkava to Hashem, they were like a chariot, just like a chariot has no independent identity. But a chariot does whatever the rider wants it to do. So too, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, that's the kind of neshama they have. And they bequeathed their neshama to us. Now, what he started to explain is that level of bittul, of their neshama, comes from the level of chokhmah v'atzilus, the highest level of chokhmah. Now, not all our neshamas are chokhmah v'atzilus, in fact, most of them are not. And they can be much, much lower than that. Different neshamas come from different levels. Neshama can come from Malchus, but not only Malchus of Atzilus, Malchus of Yitzira, of Bria. The lowest would be Malchus of Asiya. And in that, there can be different levels. And how about the neshama that comes from the lowest level of the nefesh of Malchus to Asiya, as he calls it, right? Nevertheless, all the spheres, all the 10 powers of the different worlds are all interconnected. So Malchus is connected to the Chachma is connected to the Malchus of the previous world, and so on. So ultimately, every neshama at its essence connects back to the Chochmah of Atzilus, to the highest level of Chochmah. What is that level? He's going to explain a bit more now, but basically that's the level that is the level of complete bittul to Hashem. So deep down in our neshama, we have what's called the Chochmah of the Nefesh, right? Which is the point of complete bittul to Hashem. It's also the point of Mesiras Nefesh, of giving up a life for Hashem. All that comes, but it's a natural thing. It's hidden, obviously, but it's natural. We have it, we all have it. Even the lowest person, so to speak, has it, right? Even the person that's got the lowest neshama has it also. Okay. Now, when we learned this last time, I remember coming up in a discussion that normally this is what we call a pintalayid, right? Over here, it's talked about in different terms a bit. It's talked about in terms of the chachma. It doesn't mean chachma over here as an intellectual component. It's the idea of chachma. And this pintalayid, this amunah, this mesiris nefesh, this commitment, this love of Hashem that we have innately, is expressed through the concept of chachma. And he's going to explain why now. Yeah, the etzem of neshama, that's the yichida, that's like the essence of the neshama. It's a similar concept, but over here the way it's explained is in terms of the idea of chachma, it's the chachma of the nefesh. Basically, we'll see, because when we understand chachma on an intellectual level, we understand also why this is called chachma. Meaning it's chachma because chachma is the link to something higher. It's the point of transition, the point of connection between us and what's higher than us. Us and Hashem, in other words, right? Similar thing, yeah. So he explains it. So it's a third line on page Chof Dalas. He says like this. Hine, ha-chochme, this chochme, hu mokar ha-seichel. The chochme is the source of intellect and havona, and understanding. So bina is understanding. So really, when we normally talk about a person understanding a concept, and working it through and developing an idea, that normally is a reference to Bina, not to Chachma. Right? But Chachma is the source of the Bina. And what does he say? What does he mean? He means, V'hi lemaylo mehabina. It's higher than Bina. Shehu havana sasechel vasagose. Bina is the understanding. Hi. In the middle of Perek Yud Ches, Perek 18. Yeah? No, sorry. So Bina is the understanding of the concept. But Chachma hi lemaila v'havana v'asaga. Chachma is higher than understanding. V'hi mokra lehen, it's the source of understanding. Right? Now what does that mean? We know when we talk about the process, the cognition process, we normally talk about Chachma, Bina, and Das. So of course Chachma is part of understanding. But it's not really, because what it is, as we know, we learned this in Perek Gimel, Chachma is that initial flash, that initial conception of the idea, right? So just to explain a bit more, the idea of Chachma, let's have a look at the next line, and I'll explain it properly. V'zeh loshon Chachma, this is the idea of Chachma. Koyach ma, meaning it's the words chachma is four letters, and it comes from the word koyach ma. Koyach ma means it's a koyach, it's a power, but ma, what is it? It's not developed yet. Now, do you want to turn the heater for a few minutes? Is that okay? Okay, it's cold. I'm cold at least. Okay, sorry. This is the idea of chachma koyach ma. It's what's not understood and grasped. And it's not really fully internalized in the concept of understanding. So let's just understand this a little bit. Let's talk about it in intellectual terms first, right? One of the things that Chassidus talks about chachma is that when a person is really trying to understand a concept, crack a code kind of sort of thing, right? Trying to really understand. And suddenly he gets a flash and he knows this is it. I got the answer, right? What happens at that point is two things. One thing that happens is he actually doesn't fully understand it yet. He needs to develop it. That's the idea of Vina, right? But one thing that happens at the Chochmah level, which is greater than Bina, is the certainty, the truth, Chochmah is the kernel of truth. In other words, I got it. Okay, absolutely, this is it. This is the answer. Explain to me, I can't yet, because I don't know it yet, right? But there's an intensity of clarity, not intensity of understanding. They're two different things. Intensity of clarity and intensity of understanding are two separate things. But there's an intensity of clarity which is amazing. This is it. Why? And in fact, not only that, sometimes when you put it into Bina and you really develop it, the conviction and the clarity of the truth actually weakens a bit. The understanding increases, but the certainty of truth in it actually weakens a little bit because you're testing it, you're exploring it, right? So the difference is like this. I heard from my father-in-law many times. He always used to say like this. He says, Chochmah is how the intellectual concept grabs you. And Bina is how you grab the concept. What does that mean? Chochmah is has this clarity and this certainty of truth because it's not you. That's the point. It's higher than you. Chochmah is that point where something transcendent, something higher than your knowledge, than your understanding, grabs you. You haven't grabbed it yet, that's why you can't explain it. But because something that's higher than you has grabbed you, it's absolutely certain. It's intense, it's clear. Exactly, but you fully get it. Like absolutely, there's no question. Right? So Chochmah is that's why it's called Koyach Ma. Meaning it's the beginning of the process. It came into me already, but I haven't really grabbed it yet. That's why it's a transitional koach, it's a transitional trait where it is part of me, but actually it's not really part of me. It's facilitating something higher than me. Right? Which is true, by the way. It's a similar idea it's explained in the four worlds. We have the Chochmah of Atzilus, right? We have Atzilus, Briya, Yetzira, Asiya. So Atzilus, we know we've explained before, begins the process called Seder Ishtalshelus, the evolution of worlds, right? Atzilus being the highest world and Atzilus being a different world, Atzilus being the world of Hashem. It's His Chochmah, it's His Bina, it's His Das, right? It's more where Hashem chose to manifest Himself into defined powers, right? What's higher than Seder Ishtalshelus is just the infinite and the unlimited manifestation of God's infinite light, the undefined light, right? Bligvul. Chochmah is that point of connection. So Chochmah is part of the Seder Ishtalshelus, but grabs from what's higher than Seder Ishtalshelus. It's that joining point between what transcends Seder Ishtalshelus into Seder Ishtalshelus, right? And that's Chochmah understanding as well. That's why when we talk about the Chochmah of the Nefesh, Chochmah of the Neshama also, is that part of the Neshama that reveals, that manifests, that expresses that Amunah in Hashem that's not understandable, that's higher than understanding. So the conviction of a Yid that there's one God and that He loves the God and He's connected to that God and He's bottled to that God, that happens at Chochmah, at the Chochmah of the Nefesh. And that's where he continues. He says, Lochen mislabish bo oirin sof baruch. That's why the Chochmah of the Nefesh, unlike the Bina and the Das and so on, the infinite light of Hashem can come into that Chochmah. The les machshava tvisa bei klal, that level of godliness that no one can really understand in an intellectual way, can be grasped at the Chochmah level. You can't understand it, you can't explain it, but it's who you are. Okay? And therefore, and now, as we said before, everyone has a Chochmah of his nefesh, because that's the whole idea. Even if someone's neshama is from a lower madrega, even if someone's neshama is coming from the level of Malchus of Asiya, which is much, much, much lower, infinitely lower than Chochmah Atzilus, but all the spheres, as we learned last time, connect back. And therefore, ultimately, the essence of the Neshama originates, every Neshama originates and connects back to Chochmah Atzilus, right? Therefore, Kol Yisrael, every single Yid, you'll have to excuse the next expression. It's an expression in context of the times where women didn't study. Okay? So therefore, filu hanoshim, even the women who don't learn, which is not true today, of course, but do learn today. Right? The amei ha'aretz, and those that are ignorant from learning. Otherwise, basically trying to say, even people who don't understand a lot of Torah and haven't learned and studied the greatness of Hashem, hey, ma'aminim b'Hashem, but they have a deep-seated emunah. Right? They have a deep-seated emunah. How can that be? It can be because they have a chokhmah of the nefesh. In other words, sha'amunah, as he says, what's emunah? Emunah hi lamayla min adas v'asogah. Emunah means something that's higher, transcends logic. Right? Now, it should be understood because emunah, at least the Chassidus, the way Chassidus explains it, you know, in the world they have an expression called blind faith. Right? What does blind faith mean? Normally, it's actually a derogatory term. Not a derogatory term, but it's a term describing someone that doesn't have the ability to understand something, so therefore blindly follows, right? Blind faith. So, another one I'm trying to say is like this, that sometimes in the world, when they use the word faith or emunah, they mean like something is lower than understanding. In other words, because you can't understand it. Really, it's something that could be understood, but you can't understand it, so you follow it, right? Sometimes a child can do that, right? A child can trust you and follow you and believe in you. But things that are understandable, they're not just at the level where they can understand that, right? What's the weakness of that faith? The weakness of that faith is that it's not intense. It's not with conviction. You're understanding something that could be understood. Sorry, you're believing in something that actually could be understood and even refuted, but you just don't understand it, so you believe it. You follow what I'm saying? That's not what emunah is in Yiddishkeit. At least the way Chassidus explains. Right? Emunah, by definition, is something that's not understood, but because it's higher than understanding. Understand? Emunah means you're grabbing something that's higher in rationale, which means what? And it's shining through the Chochmah. Because Chochmah facilitates something that's higher than Seichel, higher than intellect. Right? So therefore, therefore Chochmah expresses Amunah. And every Yid has this Chochmah of the Nefesh, whether they've studied or not. Right? Why? Because Amunah means to grab something, to have something that actually cannot be explained. By definition, it's higher than Chochmah. It's higher than Seichel. Higher than wisdom. Higher than understanding. Which makes it more intense, not less intense, and more certain, not less certain.
So why does the Alter Rebbe use the example of people who don't study?
No, he said like this. That even the people who don't, in other words, they haven't come to understand Hashem from understanding. But nevertheless, Amunah they do have. They might not have the things they understood, but they have what's higher than them, what's higher than Seichel.
But even those who study can't achieve that.
Correct. No, you're saying, of course. But where you see it come out strongly, you see, in other words, someone can, I'll give you an example, I was going to say this later, but you know that, because we're going to talk later about Mesiras Nefesh, right? There's a famous thing that Mesiras Nefesh is a uniquely Jewish thing. So the famous question is, what do you mean? It's not necessarily a unique Jewish thing. We find other religions where people gave up their life for their religion. They also have Mesiras Nefesh. Right? And the answer is like this. People who gave up their life is because they have already a connection to it. They relate to it already. They've been living that way. Right? They have some understanding that this is the way they live, or they were brainwashed this way, whatever the case is. Right? We find in Jewish history, in a very unique way, is that no, by Yidna, it's not like that. When the Pintal Yid was ignited, was triggered, if people gave their life, that they had no understanding in it. Nothing. They didn't live that way at all. Right? Why? Where do you see that? You see that a person who didn't learn. In other words, where does it come out strongly? You'll see later, even the people that do learn is in that category. You'll see in a second. We all have it, but where you can see it clearly is by someone who didn't learn and yet has it. Right? Correct. You can't reach that level with learning. Now, what you could do is, and this is the whole point of Hasidus Chabad, the whole idea of Hasidus Chabad, Baal Shem Tov came to reveal this emunah that every yid has. Right? That was the idea. The Baal Shem Tov revealed every single yid, they can learn, he can't learn, doesn't make a difference. Simple, sophisticated. Every yid has a deep pursuit of reading emunah. Baal Shem Tov revealed the emunah in a yid, right? Now, the problem with the emunah is that because it's so transcendent, therefore it's not internalized a lot of time. That's why sometimes we don't act in accordance with our emunah. It's what we call, in Hasidus, it's makif. In other words, it's transcendent and it's hovering and it's there, but we're not internalizing it enough, right? So Chabad Hasidus the chidush of Chabad Hasidus is that we can take the emunah and translate it into intellect. We can understand that transcendent emunah. That's a different thing. But the starting point is emunah. You're right. So pure learning doesn't create emunah. Emunah is intrinsic. Every yid has that emunah, which is higher than understanding. Right? I don't know if I've told you this story before, but there's a. My grandparents came from a town called Dokshitz. It was Poland, White Russia, very Hasidic town. And I don't know if you know, in Melbourne, there's a rabbi called Yossi Gordon. And you know him? The Gordon family also come. And in Dokshitz, there was a very Hasidic Jew called Rabbi Yochanan Gordon. He was a sheikhet. He was a Hasidic Yid. He was very close to my grandfather. And he left, that's Rabbi Gordon from Melbourne's grandfather. And he left Dokshitz before the war. As my grandfather did, as well. He went to South Africa, Rabbi Yochanan Gordon went to America. In Dokshitz, there was a great yid called Reb Leib Shenin, a very, very big chassid. In fact, it's one of the few people that about him it was said by one of the rebbes that he's a Benyani of Tanya. He reached the Benyani of Tanya, right? My grandfather used to describe him to me a lot. He said he was the Rav of Dokshitz, but he was a high level. He used to daven every day for hours. He would sit in shul and daven, and tears would come down his eyes. My grandfather always used to describe his davening. Anyway, so what happened was, the Nazis invaded Dokshitz, as they did all the Polish towns, and they rounded up the Yidden in the shul, and most of the Yidden actually were burnt. They set the shul alight. And there was one Yid, not even such a religious Yid, who managed to escape. It was a whole story. Young guy was written up the story. He escaped. Somebody had to go to the bathroom or something, so he jumped out of a window. I don't know exactly before. And bottom line, he escaped and eventually made his way to America. And eventually he met up with Rabbi Yochanan Gordon. Oh, so Rabbi Yochanan was so happy to see another yid from Dokshitz. He said, tell me what happened at the end. Describe to me what happened. So he said that the Nazis took all the yid and they put them into the shul. And when they came to the shul, Rabbi Leib Shenin was already in the shul because he was still davening. It was later on in the day, but he hadn't finished davening. He was still davening. In fact, he was oblivious to what was going on. But then eventually, somebody looked around and he saw the shul is packed and he saw nuts and he realized what's going on. So suddenly, Reb Leib Shenin stood up and he said to everyone, he said, we are about to die al Kiddush Hashem. It's an unbelievable mitzvah. We're going to die because we yidden. We can't do this without simcha. We have to do simcha. And he started to dance. And he started to dance, the Nazis shot him. That's the story. So he's telling us Rabbi Yochanan Gordon, and he ends off his description. He wasn't such a committed yid, this yid. I mean, there were different kind of Jews in the doctors, but he said to Rabbi Yochanan Gordon, he said, it works better in Yiddish, but I'll try and explain it good. He said, Dachzach mir, he says, I think, he says, that in the last moments, the rabbi of the doctors, Rabbi Leib Shenin, is a Rop von Zinnen. A Rop von Zinnen means he went crazy. But in Yiddish, where you say the person goes a bit of sugar, it's called arop von zinnen. Arop von zinnen means down from his mind. Went down, he descended from his mind. That's it. So Rabbi Yochanan Gordon, the famous story, Rabbi Yochanan looks at him, he said, no, he says, you got it wrong. Nicht a rop von sinnen, nor a ruf von sinnen. He didn't go down from his mind, he went higher than his mind. That's a moment of Mesiras Nefesh. Higher than his mind, not lower than his mind. So you're right, he wasn't rational. Correct. But it was such connection to Hashem, it was with a munna and such a munna, which cannot be explained, and it wasn't rational, but it was higher than the mind, came from the chokhmah of the Nefesh. That's the story. That's just to bring it out this country. Right? Right, you were smiling when you say exactly the same sort of thing. Mesiras Nefesh, yeah. She says, because emunah is lemaila min hadas v'asavah, because emunah is higher than understanding. And then he quotes a pasuk and he says, ki pesi yamin l'chol dover, orum yovin. Says in Mishle, in Proverbs, says, a fool will believe everything. Now, on the simple level, it's meant like to describe a fool. A fool, person doesn't understand, just believes everything, right? But he says no. And in fact, there's a Gemara, I think, if I remember correctly, there's a Gemara or a Medrash that says, Pesi yamin l'chol dover, a fool believes everything, says the Gemara, this refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu is anything, he was the greatest intellectual, right? Oh, but he says like this. It doesn't mean, chas v'shalom, a person's a fool. It could mean a person that could be referring to a person that doesn't understand anything, and yet he still has a munna. And then he says a different thing. He says, "Ulagabe Hakadosh Baruch Hu." In other words, really, this pasuk actually means something very great, because in the face of Hashem, compared to Hashem, Shehu lemaylam and aseichel v'adas, that Hashem transcends any form of thinking and understanding and intellect. V'les machshava tvisa beklal, and there's no thought, there's no human mind that can grasp Hashem. Hakel kupsoyim etzlo yisbarach. Everyone is like a fool. We're all fools, right? Meaning, fools in a good sense. We all have to, compared to the higher level, compared to Hashem, we're all fools. Hashem is not something you can understand, right? And therefore, when we reveal our emunah, when we understand that really we're all fools, and we understand that how much as we understand, we don't understand anything, that's when we can reach something which is higher than understanding. Because really, to reach higher than understanding, you have to understand that your understanding is limited. Otherwise, you think it's great. This is the whole problem, right? People need to understand that we think the human beings are fantastic because we have such intellect. Yes, it's true, but no, our intellect is incredibly limited. And certainly in comparison to Hashem, right? Because Hashem is not only higher than our thinking, he's just higher than the whole concept of thinking. He's higher than the whole concept of intellect, right? And then he brings another pasuk, a beautiful pasuk. It's pasuk in Tehillim. Which is like a skinich siv, as it says, V'ani bar v'lei eda. David HaMelech said, I'm a fool. That's what bar means, and I don't know. Behemos ayisi imach. Animals were with you, v'ani tomid imach, and I'm always with you. Right. So the simple pshat of the pasuk is like this. David HaMelech is saying that v'ani bar, even though I don't understand, which means I don't know the reason why Hashem brought such trouble upon me. Right. I don't understand it. Nevertheless, I need Tomid Imach, I'm always with you. Even though I don't understand, I'm always with you. Right? But the Pasuk says like this. But in Tanya explains the Pasuk on a deeper level. It's like this. That it's not even though, otherwise, don't have to say like this. Even though I have a shortcoming, I can't fathom why. Why you did this to me, I can't fathom. You know, Dovan Melech's Tilim is a lot about all the troubles and the pain and the challenges he went through, right? So David HaMelech is saying, on the simple level, he's saying, even though I'm so small and I don't understand anything, but nevertheless, I'm still going to be with you. I'm not going to give up, kind of thing, right? In Tanya says, no, it means deeper. David HaMelech is saying a deeper thing. That because va'ani ar v'le'edu, you know why I'm still with you? Because I'm a fool. Because I don't know. Because I'm like an animal. Because I realize that my thinking is nothing, my intellect is nothing, right? That's why I can I can believe in you. I can still be with you. In other words, when we transcend our intellect, when we transcend our thinking, that's when we reveal the Amunah. And then that's when we have Hashem. So the pasuk is saying not that I have a shortcoming and I'm like a fool, but nevertheless I'm still with you. No, I'm still with you because I'm like a fool. And that's why it says that this is like Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, because I have bittul, because I give myself up, because I submit, I surrender to you and understand the shortcomings and the failings of my own intellect. I do understand, but I give up my understanding. I go beyond my understanding. I go transcend my understanding. Right? That's why I'm still with you. That's why I'm yours. Right? Okay. That's it. And every yid has this. This is the word. Every yid has this. Okay. So now he continues. He says like this. So this is the Amunah. This is the Amunah. Every yid has it. Where do you see it? You see it. Tafka people don't understand anything because you see it come out. So you see it's there. Right? Because again, a person could have Amunah from intellect, but it's a very limited Amunah. I would say the other way around. We are required to use our intellect to internalize as much as we can of that Emunah. Right. Yeah, yeah. Because in order to make it pnimi, in order that it should permeate even our conscious faculties. On many levels, and I'll explain what I mean. First of all, the more we think about it, the more we learn about it, we learn about the Amunah, the more it becomes understood. The more it becomes understood, even though we'll never properly understand Amunah, but because Amunah and understanding are contradictory in terms, but the more we understand it, the more we internalize it, the more we commit to it, right? But there's something more than that, because he talks about Mesiras Nefesh, right? So I just studied the Maimer of the Rebbe when I was overseas. I've studied many, many, many times, but the famous Maimer of Atta Tetzaveh, where the Rebbe talks about Mesiras Nefesh, and that's the last edited Maimer that the Rebbe distributed before he had a stroke, which is in itself unbelievable because it's clearly a instruction for after Gimel Tammuz, right? It's amazing, actually. And over there, he breaks it down into many different levels, and at the end of the Maimer, he breaks down to a very subtle thing. And he says, even Mesiras Nefesh can have its shortcomings. And then if he goes to a deeper level of Mesiras Nefesh, what is that? He says like this. He doesn't say the word Russia, but he's talking about like the Hasidim that were in Russia and had real Mesiras Nefesh, right? And he says a funny thing. He says that we find Yidden who had real Mesiras Nefesh in lands that were very, very difficult and against Yiddishkeit. And yet, when they come to lands which sort of facilitate service of Hashem, and you can serve Hashem no problem, it seems that the Mesiras Nefesh is not so noticeable like it was in the old country. That's what he says. It's what he's talking about. He's sitting that were in Russia and they came to America after this, right? And he says why. He says like this. Because when a person has real Mesiras Nefesh, which is what he's going to talk about now, right? Mesiras Nefesh comes from that pintali. It comes from that part of the neshama that transcends understanding. Yeah? When a mysterious nefesh is revealed, so for example, next part he's going to say, we find that even ignoramuses, even people didn't keep Yiddishkeit, even empty people, low people, throughout history, we find that they gave up their life Hashem. Why? Because it triggered their chachma of a nefesh, their pintaliyid, and they gave up their life. But what happens when that happens? What happens is, you see, we have two parts of Anashama. We have the Chachma Shebe Nefesh, like the transcendent part of Anashama. And then we have the conscious part of Anashama, right? Where we think and we feel and we rationalize and so on and so forth, right? When Mesiras Nefesh is triggered, yeah, it's an amazing thing. In other words, Mesiras Nefesh means it's coming from the essence of the Neshama and it's amazing. And there's just clarity and there's no other alternative. And for sure, I'm going to give up my life. And there's only one Hashem and the whole thing. But where's that coming from? It's coming from the super rational part of the Neshama, right? In which case, so what happens to the rest of the neshama at that point? In other words, where's the conscious part of the neshama when a person is expressing Mesiras Nefesh? A person, when expressing Mesiras Nefesh, the conscious part of the neshama is going to sleep. It's anesthetized, pushed out of the way. What's shining and what's working and what's apparent is the emunah part of the neshama, right? That's why such a person, when they come to a place, I mean, I must say, these were great Yidden, right? They had Mesiras Nefesh, were like unbelievable. But the Rebbe's point is that it's possible that a person then can come to a place where it's easy to keep Torah Mitzvahs, in which case the emunah, like the etzema nefesh, the Mesiras Nefesh part of the nefesh, like goes a bit more in the background. And what's he working on now? What frequency is the person working on? The conscious part of the neshama. Okay, the conscious part of the neshama is not in line with that Mesiras Nefesh so much. Right? So what's the deepest part of Mesiras Nefesh? Deep part of Mesiras Nefesh is that you don't have a gun to your head, you're not being threatened, no one's telling you have to convert to a different religion or something, you're actually quite comfortable, and therefore you're working on your learning and your understanding and you're rationalizing, and the Mesiras Nefesh comes through that. That the Mesiras Nefesh is then felt, not the Mesiras Nefesh pushes away the conscious part of the neshama, the Mesiras Nefesh permeates the conscious part of the neshama. One of the ways that it brings that out in the Maimer is this idea of Kosis Lamor, which means you can have a Yid who's damish serving Hashem, is doing Torah and Mitzvahs, he's doing all the same thing, but he's still broken from the fact that Mashiach hasn't come. Why is he broken? Why is he broken from the fact Mashiach hasn't come? Because he lives a good life. There's no problems. He doesn't need Mashiach. But he's broken. The fact that Hashem is not revealed in the world is upsetting for him. Right? Why? Because that's a person whose Mesiras Nefesh has not gone back. It hasn't gone back into the background. Mesiras Nefesh is permeating every part of his conscious self. Right? In other words, his focus is Hashem. He has Mesiras Nefesh now. I mean, this could have many manifestations. It could mean that just we're committed. It could be kind of consistency. That even when things are difficult, we're ready to make Mesiras Nefesh. We're always in Mesiras Nefesh mode. Even when we're not working on adrenaline, right? We're not working on the, you know what I'm saying? Like, we work on a conscious level, but still Mesiras Nefesh is coming through. For that, you have to learn. You have to bring it into the conscious part. So making the Amunah real bepnimius, like, to internalize it on all levels, to make it that it's consistent, it's oneness. Who we are, the emunah is not just transcendent. Of course, you have to learn, but it's about bringing the emunah into the conscious levels, into the understanding. Which goes back to the beginning of Yiddishkeit. I mean, beginning of Matan Torah. We said nasa v'nishma. Nasa v'nishma means we first have to total surrender, which was fantastic. The Gemara says it was an amazing thing that they didn't surrender, even though they didn't understand yet. But then they also said v'nishma, we will understand. Why don't I just say Nase? No, because it's not good enough. Because Hashem wants us to serve Him with all of our parts, every part of us. So the Emunah, the Mesiras Nefesh, has to become part of the Chochmah, the Binah, the Das, the Midas, everything. It's all got to be an expression of the Mesiras Nefesh. But the starting point is Emunah. The starting point is Bittul, Mesiras Nefesh. Which is where the hidden love is. This is what he talks about. This is the whole next few brachim. So we'll see in a second. He actually makes reference to freedom of choice. In a second. Yeah. If that part of the neshama is fully revealed, there's no freedom. But you have a freedom to not reveal it. We'll see in a second. Okay. I think I told you the story of my grandfather, Rabbi Moshe Gerari, was a big intellectual, known as a masculine Hasidus. He was considered one of the deep thinkers in his generation of Hasidic teachings and so on. In 1952, he came to the Rebbe for the first time. He lived in Israel. And in Purim, those days were still small. You could still speak to the Rebbe at Fabrengen, and you could ask me something. Later, my times wasn't possible. But so he went over to the Rebbe by Purim Fabrengen, and you know, it's Purim, and it's emotional. He said to the Rebbe, he wants a bracha. What's he wants a bracha for? And he was a deep thinker, deep intellectual. So he said to the Rebbe, I want a bracha for Amunah. For Amunah. Because he said in Yiddish, "Fashtein, fashtein mem garnish." I recognize we don't understand anything. I suppose the deeper the thing you are, the deeper you know that you don't understand anything, right? So that's what he asked the Rebbe, bracha for Amunah. So the Rebbe told him, and this is maybe to answer his question as well. The Rebbe answered him. He said, "Fashtein darfman, aber man darf nicht wollen verstehen. No, he says, understanding, you do have to understand, but you mustn't want to understand. Meaning, our connection to Hashem is not to understand. It's to be. You have to do a mitzvah, you understand it, you don't understand it, it makes no difference. But you have to understand it, because that's what Hashem wants you to do. Hashem wants you to take it into all the levels of consciousness, all the levels of understanding and koichas pimim and so on and so forth. Yeah, does that answer your question? Good. Let's see. He says like this. The Lachin, therefore, he says, because every yid has this pin to lead, every yid has this chokh b'shem nefesh. The Lachin, afilu kal shebekalim, we find in Jewish history that even the light of the light, which means even guys, we're not particularly interested in Yiddishkeit. Upoishe is surely even more than even sinners. Moistrim nafshim lakdushas Hashem al arayv. They would give up their life for Hashem in the majority of cases. Right? V'soivlim inuyim koshim, and they would tolerate suffering. Shaloi lichber ba'Hashem echad, not to deny the one God. There were many stories of Yidden, not particularly advanced and sophisticated Yidden spiritually. Not even religious Jews sometimes. But they would scream out, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem echad, and jump into the fire. V'af im heim burim v'amei haaretz. And even if they were very empty people, very big in the Ramesses, right? Ein yoidim gdulas Hashem, and they don't know anything about the greatness of Hashem. And even a little bit they do know, they don't take time to reflect, to meditate, to understand it, to internalize it. They've never done that. And therefore it's obvious for ein moistim nasha machmas das vizbonus b'Hashem klal. They're not giving up their life because they understood something, because they came to terms with it, they worked it out. That's not why they did it. Right? Why did they do it? And also, how come they did it if there were people who didn't live a life like that, or people who were very immersed in the pleasures of this world and worldly things? Elo b'li shum das vizbonus. They did it without any thinking, without any reflection, without any understanding. Rak, they did it ki'ilu hu dover shi efshar klal lichver b'Hashem echad. They did it as if it's something that there's no alternative. Because you just have to. B'li shum tam mayna klal, without any reason, without any understanding. Why? V'hainu shumishum. Sh'Hashem echad meirem chayekol nefesh. Because every yid has the Hashem echad, the oneness of Hashem that shines in his soul. How does it sign? How does it express itself? Al yedei hislap shusay b'pachinas chochme sheba. Coming through the chochme of the nefesh. Chochme facilitates this emuna. Chochme expresses this transcendent belief in Hashem, which is lamayla min adas, which is higher than das, v'aseichel hamusig umuvin, higher than das and higher than anything that can be understood. So why did they do it all the time? They do it all the time because they didn't feel that they were challenged spiritually. In other words, when push came to shove, and it was clear that they were being ripped away from their emunah of Hashem, right? This low life, so to speak, right? Who didn't ever even keep all the mitzvahs. But when it came clear, when it was as clear as day that a person was saying you need to convert or you need to bow down to an idol or you need to do why, in other words, then it became clear that what they're trying to do is disconnect me from my belief, disconnect from Hashem. Very often they just said, no, Shema Yisrael, and jump into the fire. And let themselves be killed. Why? Because that brought out the Emunah. The reason why we don't do this every day is because, as we'll explain later, we are under the erroneous belief that when we do things wrong, that are smaller things, that we're not disconnected from Hashem. We think we still keep our connection 100%, right? Which is what he's going to explain, develop in the next few chapters. But this is the idea. Now, he did make the point, just in terms of free choice, he asked me before. He said, when he said that because every yid has the chokhmah of a nefesh, that even lower people will give up their life and suffer, he used the words al haroiv in a majority of cases, right? Because the reality is like this. The reality is it's not completely true in all cases. You do find the Jewish history, they converted. Shmad. We call him a shumid, right? Mashum means someone who became a. Not only people didn't know better, today's everyone is unfortunately they don't know better, but all people that were intellectuals, they knew and they understood Hashem and they knew the Yiddishkeit and then when became goyim, right? became Christians, whatever the case is, right? So how's that possible? Because at the end of the day, a person always has bechira. Right? A person always has choice. So it's true. When that part of the neshama is revealed, it is almost as if you cannot do anything else, but Hashem will never take away the bechira from someone. Because that's what Yiddishkeit is. We have bechira. Therefore, he says that because we find this mysterious nefesh, that's a proof that this amuna exists. But it doesn't mean it'll always work, because sometimes it's so hidden, and it's so buried, so to speak, and sometimes a person is so convinced that he has to do something else, and at the end of the day, a person has bechira. The bechira is never taken away. That's why he says it's ala roiv, it's a majority of cases that would happen. And also he says that he does it because it says if there's no other choice. So there is a choice. At the end of the day, it's always a choice. But it becomes so clear that it's as if there's no other choice. And that's why he used that phrase. Because the word you're not that didn't, right? Yeah. Alright, I think we'll stop there. That's the end of this parak. And you're gonna develop it a bit more in the next chapters.